Let us pray. O Holy One, you who are beyond us and beside us and within us, you who are our source, our companion, and our spirit, we open our hearts to you. Let us behold your glory just enough to fall in love and give ourselves entirely to you in the name and the spirit of Christ. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a person of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." The word of life. Thanks be to God. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of activities, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom,
and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit.
To another is given faith by the same Spirit.
To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit.
To another, the working of miracles.
To another, prophecy.
To another, the discernments of spirits.
To another, various kinds of tongues.
To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the third chapter. There was a Pharisee who was a leader of the people named Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus at night, and he asked him. He said to him, "Master, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, For no one who could do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus said to him, Listen, I tell you the truth. No one can see the empire of God without being born anew from above. Nicodemus said, Well, how can one be born if you've already grown old? You climb back inside your mother's womb and do it again? And Jesus said, This is the truth. No one can enter the realm of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of spirit is spirit. Don't be so alarmed that I say to you that you need to be born anew from above. The wind blows wherever it will. You can hear it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with all those who were born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, How can these things be? And Jesus said, Are you a teacher of Israel? And you don't know these things? The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, God.
In college, there was this girl named Sally who grew up in Plevna, Montana. This little tiny town, just slightly larger than this sanctuary. One of those little Montana towns. And Sally loved music. She loved to sing. But in her childhood, what that meant was basically singing alone out in the yard, or singing along with the radio, or singing in the shower. Until she went to college, and for the first time ever, she signed up for a chorus. She was in this choir class, and she'd never done that before. She thought it would be pretty fun. She had no idea what it was going to be like. She said she walked in and there were the usual sort of introductory things, but before long the director passed out some music and they started to sing. And she said it just gave her goosebumps and moved her near to tears, because she'd never sung with other people before. She'd sung, you know, the national anthem at a football game, but not just making music where there was none, out of nothing, just singing together in harmony with other people. And it totally changed her life and her outlook on what she was about. This experience of harmony. It was that moment that Sally left Plevna, Montana, and entered a whole new world. Scripture says that God is love, and love isn't a thing that you can keep on your shelf. Love is a happening. It's an event. It's a process. It's connecting one person with another, sort of like harmony. You can't just have harmony. It's something that you do with somebody else. So it is with love. That's why we have this wonderful image of God as Trinity, not just a guy up in the clouds somewhere, but community, relationship, love that is shared between Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Mother, Son, Friend, Lover, Beloved, and the love between them. It's this process of loving that God is. Wherever there is harmony, wherever there is loving going on, that's God. And when we're baptized, as in a few minutes Ethan will be, it's a symbol that we are immersed in this one thing that's going on, this one life that is shared among us. It's a way of saying that God is one, but God is also three, and you are the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. You are incorporated into God, made a part of the body of Christ, and we all breathe that Spirit together. Over the last 5 months, we have these 8 youth who have been exploring together. And they've discovered what Nicodemus discovered. That you can't just grow in faith by sitting there by yourself and thinking about it. You had to go have a conversation with Jesus. He had to learn and share. And what they've been learning, they partly learned some stuff from me and Elizabeth, because we facilitated the class, but they've also been learning from their mentors, and they've been learning from each other. Because they're not just learning things. They're not just learning ideas. They're learning love. They're learning being a community, being this oneness. And that's as much as anything what's important that we all know about the church. So in talking with some of them, I've had some great conversations, including with Isabel. We were talking about the church and how it is and how it functions. And Isabel, share with me some of the things that you were thinking about. So what is this place that we come to? Why are we doing this?
Most of what, when he first asked me at our final meeting before I was choosing whether I was going to be confirmed or not, which I am, he asked me, why do I want to join the Methodist Church in particular? I mean, there's a lot of other things out there, and why here? And what really spoke to me was the basis of the Methodist Church, which was a community. It was a place to talk about our thoughts and our feelings and what we think about the Scripture and how it reacts to our life and what other people get out of it. It's not something you do by yourself. It's something you do with other people. And you couldn't do it by yourself. It would never be the same. So I think that the community aspect of it was really important for me.
It's huge. And we are here in this community for the sake of a greater community. We're not here for ourselves. Jesus was continually sending people out into the rest of the world. When these youngsters come up here and make these vows, it's partly a way of saying, I will be here for you. And it's also a way of asking you to be here for them. And we all do that together because we're not just here for ourselves. We're here for somebody else. Once upon a time, I was talking with one of our youth about this strange thing that she called the car crash feeling.
Okay, so when I was a kid, I always used to see on the news, right? You watch the news when it's on, and I always saw car crashes or things going on, and I always got this kind of funny feeling in my stomach. And I knew I wasn't, you know, afraid of guts or gore. That was never my issue, and there's just something about it that I was unsettled. So one day, I was driving in the car. I was probably about 10 years old, sitting next to my mom, and we see this car crash on the highway. And I got that same funny feeling in my stomach, and I finally realized what it was. And I turned to my mother and said, I need to get out there. I should help those people. And I'm pretty sure that she had the right reaction to her 10-year-old daughter wanting to get out of the car and run across the highway, which was, now's not the time. So that was an experience where I finally realized that's what I needed to do. That was the feeling I was getting. That was the thing that was happening. I needed to get out there and help those people. That I needed to. And it's something that has kind of transformed my life in a way that I've realized what I want to do. And you always say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I want to help people when I grow up. So that was a huge thing for me. And this is a place where I know people will be able to foster that want and that calling in the Methodist Church.
Cool. Thank you. That's the kind of thinking that's been going on. That's the kind of sharing, the kind of stories that we all have together, the kind of harmony that you can't have by yourself. You need somebody else to have harmony. And that redefines how we think of what we're doing here as a church. And we always need that because it's so easy to get in my head what I think church is all about and my favorite thing until somebody else says what the church means to them. And I go, oh, I forgot that part. And sometimes what I realize is I forgot what I actually already knew. There is that feeling in us, that gut feeling that is a desire to do something. And we don't know what it is. To until our sisters and brothers awaken that in us. Something like that car crash feeling. And we realize, I'm here for a purpose that I knew all along. I just didn't know it. And you have helped me discover that. Discovering why we're here from one another and each other's perspective is part of why we're here. So let's do it again. Natalie, come talk to us.
This year I had the opportunity to take a class on church history, and every week we had to write a response essay, picking out something from the book and discussing it. And I noticed a passage where he discussed the perpetual virginity of Mary and that topic. So, skipping some of the intro, I will read a portion of the essay. I went to my mother to ask her opinion on the topic, and she said that it came down to what your faith is based on. She noted that her faith is based on the love and words of Jesus, not picking apart stories like the virgin birth or Noah's Ark. She related the story of a past boyfriend. Let's call him Luke. She compared her views on religion to a solid foundation, meaning that she built her faith brick by brick. Luke was given a house by his family and surroundings. If someone tapped on even one brick, the whole house would come tumbling down. In the Bible stories, you can argue circles around whether they're scientifically possible and get nowhere. Science and religion can coexist, but if you mingle them together, you won't get clear or useful answers. The point of faith and religion is not to question every line the Bible offers to the point of madness. It's not to apply outdated rules from long ago to a much more evolved time. It's not to try and find literal accuracy in every single story. It's to take the universal lessons of love and respect and use them as tools to make the world better. It's to use the stories, not as solid, unquestionable rock, but as water that reflects upon the world you know. If I've learned anything in confirmation, it's that I still have a lot to learn. Getting confirmed doesn't mean I have everything figured out. Being confirmed is just the second checkpoint. Confirmation has given me a foundation, and now I'm going to build on it.
Now I'm going to go on. Now I'm going to build on that. That is no different than where we're all at. That's what we're all doing. It's so easy to think, well, I had it figured out when I was 15, and I'm done figuring now. And we forget how much we need one another to help us to continue to ask those questions. And these youth are modeling that among us. They are doing that, and that energy radiates out. So one of the things that we really have to do is, besides saying congratulations, to say thank you. For being who you are, for being on the journeys that you're on, for sharing that journey with us and with one another, because that changes our journeys. And funny thing, they want to say the same thing.
I remember when we were in January and we were in the youth room, and we were looking at the schedule, and I thought, wow, May, how far away it's going to be. And I was thinking about this day and how now it's finally here and how many people have helped me get to that point. I'm not going to thank everyone because I'm going to forget someone, I'm positive, but all of you have helped me, whether you even know me or know my name. Just being part of the church community has really contributed to this experience. And especially thank you to all my other confirmants, of everyone that just really helped me understand more, not just about God and about the Bible, but just about myself, and has helped me with this journey. Thank you.
That's when you know you've been to church, when you walk away saying, thank you. Because we're all invited into this journey together that's all about relationships. The mystery of the Holy Trinity is not that much different from the mystery of the body of Christ, the mystery of our love for one another. It pretty much boils down to this: how much we need each other, and what a gift we've been given, that we've been given each other. Never forget that. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for your infinite love that you have shown us in Christ, for your Spirit that you place within us, that breathes, that burns, that loves with your presence. We thank you that you have called us into this love, this journey, this relationship. Help us continually to receive your love, to allow ourselves to be changed by one another, and to go out into the world with your love. God of grace, we thank you. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.